Penguin Random House Audio presents Live Fast, Die Hot. This is me, the author, Jenny Molin, with special guests, my son, Sid Biggs, my nanny, Elvie, and Jason Biggs, my wife. For Sid. Author's note. The stories you are about to hear are basically true. Though I tried to do my best in depicting events as I remembered them, there are exaggerations, some characters are composites, some time periods are condensed, and some people's names have been changed to protect their anonymity. Except my mom's. Her name is Peggy. Introduction. I never wanted to write a book about having a baby, mainly because I would never read a book about having a baby. After I saw the movie For Keeps with Molly Ringwald in 1988, I was pretty much scared off children for the next two decades. But when I hit 34, my husband's biological clock started drinking and screaming at me before bed that it was time to put somebody else first. Him. So we got pregnant. When Jason and I got married, I made all sorts of vows and promises, some of which I intended to keep, and others I just said in the moment to make him come faster. My life was exciting, sexy, and ever so slightly eccentric. I had a healthy relationship with a Hollywood actor who, despite my valiant efforts, remained more famous than me. He understood my neuroses, my fear of commitment, and my insistence on wearing his ex-girlfriend's beach caftan on vacation. He showed compassion when I got kicked off jury duty for accidentally befriending the defendant over lunch break. He even found it sweet when I invited our drug dealer to pass over Seder because I didn't want him to think we were only using him for drugs. Life was fun, uncomplicated, and, aside from when our drug dealer found the Afikoman, predictable. Then we had our son, Sid. And overnight, the fun-loving woman child that my husband fell in love with was banished from our home. It was time to stop biting my nails, to stop bleeding through my tampons, to answer my cell phone, and to learn to do simple math in my head. But what if I didn't want any of those things? What if math hurt my feelings and super plus tampons made my vagina feel fat? What if I wasn't ready to be a role model because I still envisioned being discovered at the mall and becoming a real model? Or at the very least, a top model? Sure, I was 35, but my boobs were only 18. This book is as much about my reluctance to be a responsible adult as it is about my fear of vulnerability. The second Sid entered my life, all bets were off. I was in love like I'd never been in love, under the spell of a guy who would one day leave me for someone else. I felt terrified, unworthy, unprepared, and not at all hot. In an effort to outrun my own insecurities, my life turned into a cross between Eat, Pray, Love and Die Hard. In retrospect, it probably would have been cheaper to just get back on Zoloft. Chapter 1. First comes miscarriage. How pregnant do I have to be before I can get an abortion? I called out to Jason from the hotel bathroom, trying to sound rational. I sat on the freezing cold toilet, wearing only thermal socks and a headband, focusing intently on the plastic wand holding my destiny. Swallowing hard, ingesting one more moment of freedom, I tried not to look down at what I could already sense was a smug, pink, smiley face glaring up at me. Overwhelmed and unprepared, I fell into my lap, hyperventilating. It was 2008. And Jason and I had been dating for only 6 months. 2 months prior, we'd secretly gotten engaged in St. Martin, but that was only because I'd found a picture of another girl's underwear on his phone, and he didn't want me to jump to conclusions or light him on fire. I considered his proposal more of a negotiating tactic, a pillow talk promise I could easily extract myself from if he turned out to be a philanderer or somebody who owned a bunch of aquariums. I was falling in love with him, but it was too new a feeling to trust completely. I'd never been in love, and I have to say, I didn't enjoy it. I was always more comfortable in relationships where I held all the cards, where I didn't have to feel and I couldn't get hurt, where there was always an easy exit. Over Christmas, I vaguely remembered taking ecstasy and letting Jason finish inside me, then washing down a morning after pill with the next day's breakfast. I gave no thought to the notion that I could actually be pregnant. I wasn't even sure I could get pregnant. I was 28 years old, and I'd never been on birth control. At some point along the way, I just decided that I was blessed. Accidental pregnancy was one of those things that happened to other girls, the ones in high school who smoked cigarettes and listened to Courtney Love. Granted, I'd never let guys finish inside me, but it was the holidays, and I was feeling festive. It wasn't until a few weeks after New Year's that I suspected a problem. We were skiing with friends in Vermont when I started experiencing cramps that felt like I was being shivved to death in a woman's prison for not sharing my clarifying shampoo. My boobs were swollen torpedoes of estrogen. Every couple seconds, I'd check behind me to make sure I wasn't turning my double black diamond red. I wasn't. After two more days of waking up on unblemished sheets, I grew concerned and bought a pregnancy test. Like buying a lotto ticket or a rolled-up drugstore scroll with my horoscope on it, I wasn't expecting more than a few seconds of entertainment, followed by a tinge of buyer's remorse. Jason waited anxiously on the other side of the door as I hyperventilated.
Well?
I can't breathe. This can't be happening. I'm gonna faint. I hobbled out of the bathroom and threw myself prostrate on the floor, hoping to instantly miscarry.
Wow. Okay, well, we can handle this.
Jason picked me up and put me on the bed. I'm too young to be a parent, Jason. I'm a mere child myself. I thrashed around in a full-blown tantrum.
You're 28. Actually, you're 28 and a half. So basically, you're 29.
He said, thinking he was comforting me.
Let's take a beat and think this through.
Okay, but I don't want a baby. I cloaked myself in a plaid comforter, assuming it made me invisible.
Like ever?
He sounded concerned. I'd pictured myself with children in the future, but before that I needed to be famous and have a booming acting career, the kind that would make my parents question why they hadn't paid more attention to me when they had a chance. I needed my ex-boyfriend to stop paying half my rent, and I needed my dad to stop paying the other half. I had a life plan, things I needed to check off my list. If I was going to bring someone else into the world, I wanted to be able to take care of them, famously. Maybe someday, I said. Just definitely not right now. I spent the rest of the trip skiing like I was a stuntman in a Warren Miller film. I darted in and out of trees without breaking, tried to complete an entire run on one leg, and even attempted a jump I'd researched on YouTube known as a screamin' seaman. There wasn't any point in holding back. As far as I was concerned, life was over. I was knocked up, I was barely working, and I was only 5 months away from being 29, which was only 12 months away from being 30, which was basically dead. 3 days later, I was still alive, and Jason's screaming semen was still burrowed inside me. We'd spent the last 72 hours, the same window incidentally that my bunk morning after pill should have covered me for, weighing our options. Abortion was still tops on my list. Most of my girlfriends had survived them without complications or remorse. It was, after all, the 21st century. I was an independent woman living in a country that, for the moment, still granted me the freedom to make my own choices with my body. The only thing holding me back was Jason. He wasn't some random dude I'd rear-ended while pulling out of the Rite Aid parking lot. Sure, I'd slept with that guy, but I obviously wouldn't have thought twice about aborting his baby. Jason was different. As much as I hated to admit it, he had a hold on me. And in my mind, having an abortion meant running the risk of ruining our relationship. I didn't want to look back and feel resentment towards him for allowing me to destroy something that was part of us, or have him hold it against me in fights, like,
you forgot to put the cat back on the toothpaste. Oh, yeah, you killed our baby.
I wasn't ready to be a mother, and I sure as hell wasn't ready to start capping my own toothpaste. I was living in a one-bedroom apartment with no furniture. I'd thrown out all my dishes because I was too stressed out to wash them. But I was an educated adult woman, with money in the bank, that my dad and ex-boyfriend didn't know about, and a relationship that was actually making me feel something. The more we talked...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?